The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
You'll take your Bibles and turn to what is most certainly one of your favorite Christmas texts, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll start reading at verse 7. You're about to hear the living and abiding Word of God. The light is pleasant, and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come is havel. Rejoice, young man, during your youth, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because youth and literally black hair are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, life is a gift from God. And as we get to this text, chapter 11, 7 through 10, we see that youth and the prime of life are gifts from God. But the simple fact is, and there are many who are here today who can testify to this, we do so much to spoil those gifts. So much. One Old Testament commentator, Derek Kidner, astutely says, to idolize the state of youth and to dread the loss of it is disastrous. It spoils the gift even while we have it. And yet we live in a time where we are absolutely obsessed with looking young. We are absolutely obsessed with youth when we're old. And we do absolutely everything we can to keep it, prolong it, or just flat out pretend that we have it. People spend a ton of money on trying to look young. Creams, lotions, pills, injections, suctions, you name it. People will spend money on it if it makes them look a little younger. A person looking at our culture actually might conclude that the only people who really matter in society are 18 to 30 years old, attractive and thin. Paul Tripp, many years ago, called this trend the youthification of Western culture. Now, Kohelet, Solomon, for those of you who don't know, Kohelet is the name of the author of this book, and King Solomon, but we're going to use his name as it is in the book. Kohelet is going to do what Kohelet does. He's going to give us perspective. And he's going to give us a perspective which, on the one hand, enables us to enjoy the gift without, on the other hand, idolizing it and spoiling it. So if you're young, I'll let you determine what that category is. But just don't fool yourself. If you're not young, don't put yourself in that category, all right? Don't just say, I feel young, all right? If you're not really young, okay? If you're young, okay, listen to Solomon carefully. If you are past the prime of life, listen to Solomon carefully. Okay? Now, thanks be to God, I can look out, and even on this snowy day and fewer people, I can say, you know what? I see young people, and I see plenty who are past the prime of life. Solomon's perspective is for all of us. In fact, Solomon is going to, on the one hand, show us how to enjoy the prime of life responsibly and then prepare for old age gracefully. In fact, in these few verses, if we take this little tiny section of Scripture seriously, on the one hand, it helps us avoid the youthification craze without diminishing the joy of youth. And on the other hand, if we take this little section seriously, we then look to old age with a sense of realism that enhances our enjoyment of every year God gives us to see under the sun. And so that's for everybody. That's for everybody. And so may God give us ears to hear that we might enjoy the gift no matter what stage it's in. Now Solomon begins in verse 7 with the statement, New American Standard says, the light is pleasant. The Tanakh, which is a Jewish English translation of the Old Testament, says, how sweet is the light. So we already know that life is full of dark clouds. We know that at times life can be impacted by darkness. Solomon has already told us back in chapter 5 and verse 17 that in a sense the miser, the one who lives for money, ends up doing what? Eating his bread in loneliness by himself and in darkness. The idea of clouds coming in and the idea of darkness really is this picture of sadness and misery. All of us have dark clouds. And all of us will have seasons of darkness. But Solomon's point is there's also light. Right? How sweet is the light? There is a special joy that you experience when the sun comes up. Now, some of you think joy is sleeping through that. Okay? Not true. There is something almost magical being out, let's say, on a deer hunt, and you go out when it's dark. And you sit there and you're waiting for first light. And all of a sudden, the light begins to dawn. And there's something absolutely wonderful about the dawning of the sun. And once that sun begins to shine and to shine brightly and the dawn breaks, there's a sweetness of just being alive. And that's the imagery. The imagery of the light is pleasant and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. The imagery is of enjoying life and enjoying the blessing of life. enjoying the sweetness of life and just being alive. Have you ever noticed there's something wonderful about breathing? But to breathe and to see the light is blessing upon blessing. Solomon says it's good for the eyes to see the sun. Why is it good for the eyes to see the sun? It's good for the eyes to enjoy the brightness of the sun while you can still see it. Why? Because days of darkness are coming. You go, oh, here we go. Now we're going to get into the depressing stuff. No, that's next week. But here's why you enjoy the sun while you can see it, is because challenging days are in fact ahead. Challenging days are ahead for all of us. Some of you might even be in those challenging days right now. And so Solomon's point is this: we won't always be able to experience the warmth of the sunlight and to be able to see the sweetness of the light. So it's just really good. It's a blessing to do it while you can. And then Solomon says in verse 8, indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all and let him remember the days of darkness, for they'll be many. Everything that is to come is havel. So verse 8 ends up underscoring the call of enjoyment of verse 7. And so Solomon says, if a man should live for many years, he should do what? He should rejoice in all of them. You know, some people are in fact given many years in this short, vaporous life. Think of our dear brother, Bob Edwards. Nanette, 102, right? Almost 102, okay? 102. There's something inside of me that says, God, kill me before I get to be 102, okay? But I'll tell you, sometimes God gives people a really long life, okay? Don't forget the perspective. It's all a vapor. And so whether you get 30 years or 100 years, it's still a vapor. A few years tacked on doesn't actually make the vapor any less vapor. It's still just a breath. But Solomon says, you know what? It's possible that you might have many years. And here's what you're supposed to do in this short, vaporous life that might be filled with many years. Enjoy all the chapters. Enjoy all the years. No matter how quickly they might seem to go by, enjoy each stage. Enjoy each chapter. Enjoy each page. Once the page turns, you don't get to go back. So enjoy it while you're on that page. I found a file the other day of old videos that I had taken back in 2008. And some of them are from a Hawaii trip that we made. And about half of them are Alex playing baseball. And I start watching them. And I hear Arnie cheering for Alex in almost every one of these videos. I listen to my boys and their prepubescent voices. Sweet, but past. Sweet, but past. I'll never hear those voices again. I won't hear Arnie's voice again. If you aren't committed to saying, God, this is a short life. Goes by faster. My days go by faster than a weaver's shuttle. And each one of these fleeting years that you give me. It's a gift and I want to enjoy it. If all I do is look at old pictures and watch old videos and say, oh, pine for the good old days. By the way, Solomon's already addressed that. Those good old days weren't all that good. Because with those little sweet prepubescent voices were a whole lot of spankings and heartache and frustration and irritation. And I didn't have verse 10, put anger and frustration far from your heart. Didn't have it down yet. And it was rough. So enjoy each of the chapters as God gives them. Enjoy each of the years, but do not pine for that which is past in such a way that you're ruining the gift right now. Solomon is not going to let us forget this. If God gives you lots of years, praise Him and enjoy each one of those years, no matter how quickly they go by. Why? Solomon turns around and says, let him remember the days of darkness. This is why you enjoy each year. You remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. In chapter 12, we're going to get to old age. And let me just say, the Bible makes no bones about the fact that old age stinks. Okay? Solomon says, make sure you enjoy each one of these fleeting gifts that are going by so quickly, because there's coming a time when the dark days are ahead of you. So let that time motivate you to enjoy the sweetness of the light while you have it now. So when Solomon gives this call to remember the days of darkness, it's not a call to look back on your own days of darkness, but it's a call to look ahead to the darkness that may be coming, that's often associated with old age. The aging process will bring with it restrictions and limitations on what we can do and what we can enjoy. And so we know those days are coming. And because we know those days are coming, make sure that you enjoy today. Make sure that you are fundamentally committed to a sanctified carpe diem. Seize the day. Seize it as a gift. Seize it for His glory. Seize it for enjoyment. And then Solomon says, everything that's to come will be vapor. I don't think that we have to spend too much time on why this is not bad news. If you're visiting, you see your Bible says vanity or futility or something like that. The word havel is vapor. It's breath. It's that which is transient. It's that which is fleeting. It's a cold breath on a Nevada morning that's just here and then it is gone. But understand this, that from Solomon's perspective, both youth and old age are a vapor. The vigor and the joy of the prime of life is a vapor. And you know what that vigor of the prime of life leads to? It gives way to doctor's appointments. I got to be careful because my dad does listen to every sermon. And hey, Dad, how are you doing? Yeah, I went to the doctor today. Well, I talked to you 3 days ago. You went to the doctor then too. Yep. Right? Vigor gives way to ailments. And ailments give way to more ailments. And ailments eventually give way to death. Merry Christmas. It's all a breath. It's all a breath. So I look out and I see these. Johnny's not a young man anymore. He's middle age. I look out at these young men. Okay. I look out at these young men. I think prime of life. Prime of life. What a gift. What a gift. But how many of you think back to those days as if it was merely yesterday? Okay. We know. That's fleeting. And you know what happens? You're like 9 years old. And you can't wait to be 10. And then when you're 10, you can't wait to be 12. And then when you're 12, you can't wait to drive because, boy, that must be nirvana. 16. Woo. And then you go to high school, like that. Then you go to college, like that. And then all of a sudden you're married, and then you have kids, like that. And all of a sudden you realize that every single little chapter of life was simply a vapor. And here's the thing, is from 9 to 10, that seems to take a decade. (laughs) 50 to 55, 4.5 seconds. That's what happens, right? So if you're suffering from old age, rejoice. It's a vapor. And it will, those last years will go by quicker than the early years. By the way, that too is a gift. So everything's a vapor. He's not trying to depress us. Right? What is he doing? He's pressing on us the urgency to enjoy life as a gift right now. Do you know who the people are who enjoy life best? They're the ones that know that there's coming a time when they won't be able to enjoy it like they do now. That liberates you. That liberates you as a parent. Verse 9 is troublesome. Rejoice, young man. New American Standard says childhood, which is probably not the best. Rejoice, young man, during your youth. And let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Now, Net Bible says, rejoice, young man, while you're young. This is the idea. NIV, you who are young, be happy while you're young. It's perfectly good translation. New Living Translation, young people, it's wonderful to be young. I want to tell you, if you're young, it is indeed wonderful to be young. But notice, Solomon gives a command. And what's the command? To rejoice. Rejoice during your youth. Rejoice during this special but very short season. And then Solomon says, let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. Or as the ESV puts it, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Or NIV again, let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. And so here is this biblical imperative, a biblical command that demonstrates not only is being young a gift from God, but God actually adds a commandment to it, which is enjoy it. The days go by so quickly. Enjoy it. Imagine, just imagine, God is telling young people to make sure they enjoy the youth that He's given to them. Maximize the joy of the prime of life. Now, the next part scares parents of teenagers. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. And all the parents are looking for a pen so that they can subtly just kind of like cross that line out before their kid sees it as a teenager. Sounds a little scary, right? Follow the impulses of your heart. Who says that? Follow the desires of your eyes. Who in the world would say that? Well, a God who actually says this is a gift and I want you to enjoy it. Now, by the way, this is not some sort of exhortation or for a license to hedonism, as we're going to see actually very clearly. What it is a call to is to live your youth to the full. Now, impulses of your heart could easily be translated, walk in the way of your mind. And this is not, again, some sort of pursue sensual pleasures, because sensual pleasures, by the way, Solomon has already told us this, don't bring ultimate satisfaction. What this exhortation is, follow the impulses of your heart, the desire of your eyes. What this exhortation is in your youth, enjoy the newness of the things of life. Are there new perspectives that you gain in your youth? Yeah. Are there new experiences you gain in your youth? Yes. Are there things that begin to break upon your horizon that have a newness and a freshness to them? And the answer is yes. There is a wonder to it. And it's not bad. Old people, do you remember the first time you laid eyes on somebody and said, I think I'm in love? Okay. Now, you were probably wrong. You're probably grossly misguided. But there was a newness about it. All of a sudden, this horizon opens up, and it's the gift of God. Do you remember, old people, when you first started to prefer steak to macaroni and cheese? Okay. Right? When you're 8, you're like, I don't want that. That's gross. Give me mac and cheese from a box. There comes a point in time where a new horizon opens up. And you're like, food is more than mac and cheese and Cheerios, right? Solomon's just saying there are going to be desires in front of your eyes, and there are going to be impulses in your heart, and all of these things are a part of God's gift to you. And so you are to enjoy it. Enjoy the new perspectives. Enjoy the new horizons. Enjoy the new experiences, young people. But there is a qualifier, and the qualifier is this. Yet know God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So it says this, Solomon saying, I know what I just said, but for those of you who want to get carried away, let me just remind you, you're going to be held to account and be judged for the way that you pursued these things. In other words, the qualifier, God's going to bring these things to judgment, is in a sense an exhortation. Enjoy the good gifts of God in your youth. Don't abuse them. Enjoy the good gifts in your life. Don't abuse them, because abusing the gifts of God results in idolatry, which results in judgment. God will in fact judge on how well we enjoyed His gifts and whether or not we abused them. Now there's a little qualifier, yet know that God's going to bring everything into judgment. In other words, you're going to give an account. That little qualifier is not only a reminder for, let's say, those that want to morally push the envelope as far as they can. It is for them. But it's also a reminder to the stodgy. Oh, we're going to go from preaching to meddling right now. The command to enjoy and the command to know that God's going to, or the exhortation that God's going to bring all these things into judgment, means not only will he bring into judgment if we abuse His gifts, but He also will bring us into judgment if we refuse to enjoy His gifts. So if you're too holy to be happy, watch out. You're living by scruples that God didn't put on you. Okay? If your biggest fear is that you might be having fun, God will bring that into judgment. Oh my goodness. I will tell you, there are not a few in this room who will say to themselves, oh, I've abused God's good gifts, and I know that I'm going to be brought into judgment for abusing them, for turning them into idols. But I want to say, don't forget that for the stodgy and the stoic and the stuck up, who refused to enjoy life as a gift, squandering that gift for the sake of your own phony piety will also bring you into judgment. So, the promiscuous breaks God's commands and they'll be judged, and the sullen and the sour break God's commands and they'll be judged. Walt Kaiser says, life must be lived with eternity's values in view. Your life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ and with eyes fixed on Christ will last. So have fun. Rejoice and delight in the thrill of living. Very similar to Augustine's famous dictum, love God and do as you please. Have fun, but know God's going to judge. Some of you are still right now trying to figure out how those things fit together. If you enjoy the gift for the sake of the giver, it will prevent you from turning the gift into an idol. Verse 10. Verse 10 means more to me than any of you know. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put pain away from your body, because youth and black hair are fleeting. So I'm reading this verse, studying this verse, and I get a wicked email from somebody. And all of a sudden my heart just, blood pressure goes up. Heart is filled with anxiety and anger. And I'm like, okay, what verse was I on? Remove grief and anger from your heart. Sometimes it's no fun being a preacher, I'll tell you, right? So we can't always avoid grief, right? Ecclesiastes 3. Time for everything, every event under heaven. So we can't always avoid grief. But the exhortation is to actually put away all that you can that eats away at the joy of your life. Notice, New American Standard says grief and anger. ESV, vexation. The Septuagint uses the term thumos, which means vehement anger. Okay. We just stick with the idea of anger. You do know that life is simply too short to be an angry person. Anger sucks the joy right out of your life. Anger is an enemy to enjoying God's good gifts. The person that's always angry, the person that's got anger that just resides in their heart, they have no capacity to look beyond their own irritations to see anything good in life. Some of you should stop listening to talk radio altogether. Put it away from your heart as stop listening to talk radio. Okay? Years ago, we had an older lady that used to come to church regularly, and she would come on a Wednesday night, and she would be worked up into a lather, and she would come make a beeline for me, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Pastor, I was listening to Michael Savage on the way to church." And I'm like, stop doing that! Just stop! It's not good for you! It is not good for you. I'm as conservative and patriotic as they come. And I will tell you that there can be a lot of anger for what's going on all around us. But Solomon says, put it away from you. Your anger doesn't solve anything. Your anger doesn't accomplish anything. Your anger is simply robbing you of the goodness of God right now in the present. And so stop it. And so whatever's feeding that anger, get rid of it. If it's a wife or a husband, we'll deal with that differently. You get interviewed by the police and you say, my pastor told me to do it. Put pain away from your body. Now, he doesn't mean the aches and the pains of your body. You can't just put those away. Pain here is the word evil. And it's not the idea of personal sin, but it is the trouble that evil in this life brings. You know, there's so much in this life that can consume us, and so much that we can just fret over, and so much to just honestly, just to be angry at all the time. And Solomon says, these things can cripple us. Put them away. Put them away. Fight for joy. How do you do that? Cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you. Lord, take this from me, please, please. Don't let me just take it back. And I need to remember that all of the stuff, all of the evil, all the stuff that makes me angry, that causes pain, all that stuff is a vapor. And it's going to be gone one day too. And Jesus will reign forever and ever. So can I afford to actually put it away from me? And the answer is 100%. And so again, one of my favorite commentators, Walt Kaiser, he says, end all sadness, fretting, and morose and gloom. Men must be free from those injuries to the inner man that so quickly cripples the joy of life. So here's why you got to put it away. Youth and black hair are Havel. Youth and black hair. Now, a New American Standard, I wish they would just retain it, right? Prime of life. Well, that gets the idea, right? It's just a vapor. Your youth is a vapor. Prime of life is a vapor. Since it's so short, since it's so brief, don't waste it on anger and anxiety and stewing over the bad stuff. That's the point. So young people, your youth is a vapor. And the choices that you make in your youth can become the foundation for a wise and happy life, or they can become the foundation becoming a fool. That youth is a gift from God. That black hair, if it's real, is a gift from God. Okay? Somebody showed me an old picture the other day. Actually, it wasn't that old. It was 2014. That's not that long ago, right? And I was like, look at that. There's no gray in my beard. None. And my hair is stellar, but my mom had good hair. I have more gray hair than my mom did at 71. And I remember what some of you look like years ago. I remember what you look like years ago. Black hair, prime of life, is the gift of God. So don't waste the prime of your life by being an angry, vexatious, anxious person. It makes life go by way too fast. So God commands us in this text to not waste our youth. Enjoy it as God's gift, but enjoy it as one who will stand before the judgment seat of God. Our youth is a gift from God. Live it fully, coram Deo, before the face of God. The fun of those years is the gift of God. Soak in the sunlight. Taste its sweetness. Revel in new experiences, including love and the wife or the husband of your youth. And don't wait, because the sun is setting. The light will fade. Old age will come. Youth and the prime of life have a havel, have a vapor quality to them, because they seem to go so quickly, and yet we seem to treat them so wastefully. Solomon's word, Don't waste a year. Don't waste a month. Don't waste a day. Live life to the full. God requires it of you. But seize the day, and seize it not just for the fun that you can have, but seize it for the eternity that awaits you. The very next verse that goes right into chapter 12 is this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator. In the midst of youth and in the midst of the prime of life, remember your Creator. In other words, come to Christ while you're young. Very, very few turn to Him when they are old. If you're old and you haven't turned to Christ, you have to understand deathbeds are coming. If you're old and you have not turned to Christ, then not only have you wasted the youth that God gave you as a gift, but you're now wasting old age. And there's coming a time where that gift is going to run out, and it will run out completely. And once you actually stand before Almighty God and give an account for each of your days, you will stand there wishing that for one single solid scary moment, you could go back in time and get it back and say, God, forgive me for my sins. I want to trust your Son. I want to be with you in eternity. And that time will be past. No more. Deathbeds are coming. Your last breath is coming. Your last heartbeat is coming. And those of you who are young think, I'm so thankful I have so much time left. First of all, you don't know that. Young people die too. Remember your Creator now. I promise you, Jesus will not ruin your life. Jesus will not ruin your fun. Jesus will not rob you of the prime of life and turn you into somebody that just thinks, well, I'm probably going to get an ugly wife and end up as a missionary in Africa if I follow Jesus. I wish I could turn back the time, just 30 seconds. Jesus is not interested in ruining your life. He is interested in giving you life abundantly. He is interested in taking the prime of life and youth and sanctifying it for a greater joy than you could ever have just by hanging out with your friends. And so remember God in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator. Before your heart gets hard. J.C. Ryle one time, commenting on the thief on the cross, said, notice there were two thieves. Only one turned. One turned that he might give us hope. But the other did not, so that we dare not presume. Because as a man lives, will be most often, not always, but most often, how he dies. And so whether you are young or you are old, the breaths that you have taken in the last 60 minutes have been a gift from God and an opportunity for you to turn to Him and enjoy life now and forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this text. We pray that as your word has gone out, it would not return to you void, but would accomplish your purposes. We pray for the salvation of our young people. We pray for the salvation of old people. And we pray for the salvation of everybody in between. And we pray that we would take your command to rejoice and to enjoy this life with great vigor, and that we would do it to your glory. Oh God, be glorified in the lives of your people. May husbands and wives enjoy marriage to your glory. May we enjoy raising our kids, our grandkids, to your glory. May we enjoy our work to your glory. You're so kind. We give you thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.